another item is almost like half the item. So all in all, we have 2.5 items. Half item top to last week's decision in our meeting of the 20th of March, wherein we had requested the department to brief our committee before we go on recess. We had listed the issues and the issues were communicated to the department accordingly. Some of these issues are not new. They have been there, some are new, and some have been raised with the department, but left in some detail. The two items, say, for this half are your warning program having to be briefed at the Committee of Parliament on progress or lack thereof, and the second item was or is about the bulk of the first financial year 2018-2019. The half item I was making reference to talk to a few issues that have been raised to the department and are expected to be submitted today. Number one are the litigations that the department worked for, having the cost implications of those litigations. And we had raised this matter some few weeks ago. Emphasized and also in writing submitted was a correspondence to the department to that effect. The second item expected to put on talks to the 2.9 billion rand overdraft. And we had emphasized that if we can get a written agreement on this overdraft. The reason for that is that it talks to a confusion whether it is the Reserve Bank or the National Treasury. The third area talks to the two legislative pieces, the Water Sanitation Bill and also the Water Research Commission Amendment Bill. The fourth area talks to the water master plan and the progress and report thereof. The fifth item talks to the written instruction on outsourcing of construction project and of engaging construction. Certain officials mentioned last week that they received an impression to take away projects expected to be implemented by the construction unit and have those rather outsourced. The sixth item talks to the detailed asset register of the construction unit. The last progress report in terms of construction of Mzimbo was there. Now these are the areas that were taken an interest in for the department to submit written reports on. That would have been the first area for us to achieve. For the other two having been one listed program and also proposed out for bulk water tariffs for 2018-2019. And now these are the 12 issues that were expected from the department. And you can start off with the first, which basically enlists the number of those workers Madia is assisting us today. His name also happens to be Madia. They know the rules. They know what is expected. So that if you don't get the same complaint all the time, you reach that point where you say, ah, it's fine, just get going, you know, work must be done. But we always say this to show the minister that these members read and they prepare. The principal is very consistent with that. Of course, all other members do read as well. But the principal always makes the point that he gets into detail. So that's the challenge we have. Maybe from day one, Minister, treating today as being day one, you really need to crack the whip. You need to crack the whip. We cannot be repeatedly be talking about the same thing all the time without pain. I can safely say, even last week, we were going through the same. I would imagine members simply just tell themselves that, what's the point? Because you're going to be confronted with the same response. So that's the kind of situation that we are confronted with. Nadia is off sick. She requested Mr. Mkiz and Gunnis Mkiz. He is to replace him. Yeah, it is now confirmed that we are only receiving these submissions only as we are here. The minister, the floor is yours, so you have sort of before we get to that point. We only got one written apology from Groundwater Chief Officer. They're having a board meeting today. There's a team that is going to represent Groundwater. They are going to introduce all the members of this future. Okay, that's it.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Chair. I'm taking full responsibility for that. I have the Honorable Principal said that last week. And because I got the report yesterday, I thought that the report was distributed. I didn't even ask the officials to be here. That was a standard practice in all cultural committees. I'm surprised that the department doesn't know that. The apologies shared a great full responsibility for me.
I'm not sure why the minister is on my own question. That takes the responsibility on issues of conduct. And I think that the minister must not do that. He must never do that mistake. Accounting officer of the department is not account. So those are administrators administer the day-to-day life. And they know very well that this point that the chair is a thing will never be collected. Someone would have to explain this to me. And please don't take it. The accounting officer must explain itself on why the commission was. When all of us know that this is what she has been saying. If we correct things in this way, we cannot be corrected by you taking it. Someone will have to explain.
I will never say this thing. We are not raising it because it's for the first time. We are raising it because we are being denied access to deal with core issues and time to reflect and to really prepare themselves to be able to do this. Normally, when a situation of this nature happens, normally we couldn't do an exercise that day. We're still going to study the report. We will call it back again. You know, because when you just present information of the situation now, you can deny members of parliament that to interrogate and to engage with you and to do their normal work. So the accounting office must speak to the people. And she must speak to why this information has been disseminated. You know, then we'll have to pick it up from there. And it cannot be in a way of an afternoon general check. That's right. If parliament were to do oversight, say, several ministers, is that those who are responsible to account parliament will have to take that responsibility and do it in the manner that defeats their responsibility and the respect of parliament. So some of us who attend to the whips in the committees, we're not in the whips, we are meant to come and whip where we're supposed to whip. And that is my responsibility again, from the party that I have represented, which is a thing not going to allow this thing to happen. And I'm not sure about the chair, but maybe in your engagement with the minister, you have dealt with the issue of the letter that you received from the minister. You may not want to do this, I don't know. I don't want to expose you on that, but I think it's something that there would have to be addressed at some point. Maybe we may have to have a break to reflect, because this, in fact, the situation that we are dealing with has been formed again by that letter that you have written to the chair. So for now, I think, chair, let's allow the consumer people to respond on the submission that we will then give you. I'll let us before we get into the deeper detail of what is happening. Yesterday, we were in a portfolio committee meeting with a different stakeholders. You also had your specialist getting unit and treasure. There are issues there. They cannot be a big thing that one must. But you have to keep it very special. So, Chair, my feeling that let us get the government officer to talk to the committee. That's my opinion.
It's quite unfortunate, Minister, that we have to go through this. This is a matter that we've been dealing with for quite some time in the department. From where they've been used in the past. By right, we are supposed say to the department that you receive this submission now in the meeting. Go away and come back. So that shall have been given an opportunity to go through the process by right. That talks to Parliament, not just this committee, not Lulu Johnson, who happens to be the chair this past few days or this few days. But Parliament has been and it continues to be undermined. That is what this talks to put it bluntly. Which is quite unfortunate. Parliament is taken for granted that it's fine, We'll go through that, 2-3 hours and then we're gone. Our work continues. It's business as usual. It's fine, Within no time, the attempt is going to be gone. We are here, they found us here. It's not personal. We are not friends here. We are not family here. We have work to do. duties are sent us here. There are responsibilities towards our people out there. Our supervisors out there. Our communities and our people out there, they are our supervisors. If the officials are going to treat Parliament in the manner in which they have been treating, frankly speaking, they must be consequent management on the part of the department. It must be as simple as that, because these matters are not new, they have not been raised first time around, not second time around, not third time around. Now that's the seriousness of the issues that we are dealing with. As I said again, Mr. Mbuni, you know, one would have adopted an attitude that says, ah, it's fine, you know, let's just do it, just get away with what we are expected to do. Mr. Chauke is insisting on the issues again, that Mr. Mbuni has raised. Okay, those are the issues, Minister. You might wish to direct our meeting. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I've heard you. And I've heard Honorable Chair. And we're all in your hands. Honorable Chair, I guess again we talk about a couple of things. Your letter speaks to you in these 2 weeks that you summarized as 2.5.
My apologies, if you don't mind. I think Mr. Charles was very pointed in saying we cannot take responsibility on the issue unless advice otherwise. The officials are the ones that have full responsibility. There is an accounting office that I here. I just got a correspondence now from the Director General, Mr. Mkhize, who has been officing. Ms. Makatini, I tell you that she's been Ms. Zagile. Makatini, you will be acting DG during the period of absence. That's what we are getting. If you can guide us in that regard.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Indeed, two members of my delegation, one of them is sitting here. They are already in the investigation. The Deputy Minister came back from New York sick. I think DG has been hooked up until tomorrow. They've got every cold. I'm worried something next to her. Yesterday I was worried she was coughing very profusely. And I thought I wish I would get that food from her. She's here because she said, I said to her, despite your flu, you will please come because you will assist me in a lot in terms of success your program. So we apologize for the activity. So Ms. Makatini is today in the community. Since Monday, she continued when the education activity came back. And she was sick. I believe the city there, she went to the doctor, which is, and there was good talk. So, if there would be anything, she will tell it to you. Accounting for that. Jay, if you don't mind, I'm happy with the comments that Mr. Chauke did. I was taking responsibility because I wanted to be in charge. If the committee takes that responsibility, you're actually emasculating me in my political authority. They weren't afraid of me. they only respect you sitting here and not the minister. That's what it means. Whether I come to you, there comes to me. I wish we had a common understanding on that. So that moving forward, I don't get that problem. That's when I say to them, do this, they say, we can ignore you, what comes from the city. Anyway, please. I wish I could be given that opportunity. Thank you.
Chair. Normally, we say the dialogue with my minister there. But the point is that, the issues of administration correctly, you take the full responsibility. What is important here is to empower you to what we are doing this exercise. But those who are responsible to prepare documents, knowing very well that the standard in this committee, documents have to be submitted before the meeting. They know they have not been told you that going to Cape Town as soon as they send documents. You just got the documents now yesterday. So accounting officer, I think that the politicians, all of us, the respect that they have got you, the same respect as the first. So the accounting officer must take responsibility and explain why Parliament was received to human now. If not, we're not going to come to the human. We're going to have the department treat us. When we have time, started the document, we will come back and invite the statements. No one is going to explain. I understand the proof that someone would have to explain. Because by the way that you, it's part of asserting the authority that we expect from a control. Part of the department problems minister. To file to law, the minister that was defending. The mess that the department is sitting on today is because of this exercise. It was known, in fact, from the former minister that when she comes, we will do the report and it's done. Something happened. Those who are accountable and answerable must do this. Not a problem. So the acting DG of the department is here to deal with the human. But you yourself are not going to speak on this. She's going to speak on it. So she must speak to the meeting and give reasons why we are sitting to this now. And I think maybe it will help you again to understand if that challenges. But if you're just going to keep quiet and get in there, you may not know that from the either from the line from she will not know that she will documents that they are coming out of that. We have to take it together with you. We may not know it first, but I think it's important that she does that exercise. Briefing the committee as to why we're going to do this. With respect to this, I'm not saying that I'm going to do it. It's very important that we're going to do it.
Okay. I had to come in and talk to them. On Friday when I left,
and said, Kizer was going to take off on Monday, the documents had been prepared. On Monday, the minister requested me to come back because there's this challenge. We have been constantly standing over and not knowing whether the because the documents were raised by Friday. I got the documents. I am just hearing now that the documents are sent. I'm taking full responsibility. But may the committee look at the circumstances around the case, because I was supposed to agree, when I came back, I got that everything after the seminar, because I had already left. But given that it may, I take full responsibility and will not have any case.
Things on media front page. The department has been sent back with the minister packing because they failed to follow the president and parliamentary processes. We are trying to avoid that. But the issue of food, let us be taken serious, man. Let us be taken serious here. Yeah. Know where you are accounting to. Once you start respecting those people you are coming to, you will then respect yourself. None but departmental officials. This is the new minister. Show your commitment to the department by respecting all the things that you will be saying, much as they have to respect us too. Otherwise, we are going back to those things. I think I'm saying that we give it to children. We have to send the department back if they don't respect us. We have to send them back if they don't respect us. We cannot come here empty-handed. Why do you make people to account if you don't have information yourself? So I'm requesting, and then I propose, let's please continue with the meeting. We hope this will be the last thing that happens to us. You see, I'm nodding. I'm not nodding, I'm just talking. It must not be.
Thank you. I'm looking at all the other numbers. There's a sum of eight. Or sum of faces. I tell you, we're fine, but we have work to do. So I don't want to be distracted by any.
No, we are fine.
Chairperson, I also wanted to support the previous speaker, Honorable Chao Kei, when he was indicating the fact that the minister must not take responsibility. on the blunders that have been done by the department or the officials. Because, Chair, this department is in a mess. You know that. Then I wonder if the minister will take responsibility for the mess that is haunting the department. Still a long way to go, Honourable Minister. So I wanted to support Mr. Chapa that you don't jump and take responsibility. This is a dangerous kind of department. Let me warn you. Thank you very much.
We took be a thorough minister. Mr. Ngoni is saying we don't want to engage on the report by the essence of the DG. Members would have gone to the point where we find the culprit. Who was responsible to what? To the point where you dig deeper into finding as to who exactly was expected to do that. Granted, the acting accounting officer takes full responsibility, because that accounting officer is the one who must account at the end. The buck stops there. But either it may, members are fine, they've made the statements that they've made. Don't take those statements lightly. Okay, let's move on. We have the outstanding issues that have been read out. Even those issues were meant to have been forwarded to our committee before time, so that we prepare ourselves also. Those issues were raised. They are in the minutes of our last meeting. They talk about litigation, the number, and also they talk about the cost of those litigations. And they talk about Zimbo who let us report. They talk about a whole range of issues. If we can just start with those first, and then we go to the one leak program, and also lastly the item of the bulk water service.
Program was created and how
it was managed well, the challenge is solution, and even political, in terms of what it was intended to achieve and whether or not it did achieve that which it was placed. So I wish actually that at some point that you would have that opportunity to interact with that. I thought it was a good report that gave a lot of insight in terms of the broader environment within which you have been speaking to very eloquently in the community since we started here. So, Chair, I wish to request that we focus on this, which in fact is what we prepared for in terms of the letter that we gave to me, and that's what I emphasize to you, that this is what we want to see prepared in terms of the plan.
Maybe just to clarify the issue once and for all, among your officials, because I remember last week, as we were meeting in a full committee session, Nadia literally, having passed all the issues, signed off in a form of an email that was sent to the department, requesting all these issues to be submitted in a next meeting that we meet, which refers to this meeting of today. So that's what happened last week as we were meeting. I could literally see her having enlisted and confirmed the issues with the members in a full committee as to what the issues are or where. So that's what happened. I understand you must have gotten the letter that was signed off, but there was this correspondence, the form of an email that went through to some of your officials, which are expected to report or get any attention from the accounting officer. This is not how it goes. We'll never see comments unless it is signed by me, which goes to you directly. When it is signed or rather emailed by her, then that the information goes straight to the ATMO, to the DG.
If I can comment on that, I'm sure they must be response. Chair, I wish I could be helped. If you want me to be effective in my job, let me know about things that will be expected here. I don't want to find myself in an embarrassment as I'm finding myself today here. I prepare according to what is in the letter written to me for good process. And then you're asking me to say, okay, certainly this is what I want to see. Here are the documents that there is just delivered now. Prepared according to the letter. Now, this one I don't know that. I agree with you, I was sitting in that meeting and I wrote all of those things. I know exactly what you're saying is correct. But I didn't know that there would be matters arising here from that before we prepared the stitches in front of me. And I asked them to prepare according to this, which is in front of me in the letter. So I apologize for misunderstanding that the committee works like that.
Members, let's
okay, Mr. Connor. No, Honorable Chair. I hear what the minister is saying, but I recall pretty well that at our last meeting you were emphatic, Honorable Chair, to say that the issues we raised at that meeting were not part of the issues which were being discussed at the meeting. But out of interest, because these are pending issues as well, for instance, the question of losing for death. It's a pending issue. You said that the department must come to the meeting prepared to respond to the issues that we have raised, including the question of losing them. And we thought today we are going to get a kind of that kind of a response, because there are a number of questions, more especially around the question of Uzimu Udem. Given the fact that there's an information that we are having as the committee, and we need to pose answers to the department in that regard. Thank you.
Members, let me plead for written responses from the Ministry of Department on the issues raised so that we make progress. The point where we get those written responses on Wednesday coming. And those shall have to be distributed to members electronically. If that is fine, are we fine with that?
Yes, we can compromise.
It's a compromise. All in the interest of us having to move forward with our agenda. Okay. Thank you. Minister, we have taken that route, and that's all what we might also wish to impress upon is for the officials to really begin to up their game. And assist the minister is new. We don't find ourselves in a situation where we're stuck in a meeting for almost an hour, discussing issues that are not relevant to what we are here for. Minister, we can then move forward with our agenda, starting with the program on warning, and then we shall then conclude with the proposed tariffs on top of things.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I hope that honorable members are grateful about copies of the Muslim Court. Because that was the first point which we were told they were distributing it now. If I am right, she will assume that honorable members are listening to the court. Thanks very much. The reports are going to be presented by firstly by the department, and then by the president, what the president did today, and the speaker's presence in terms of the spots. The tariffs are also have been prepared for the copy of that report, and the team led by acting DG. So, Chair, without delay, I would like to ask the department to make the first presentation. And that's the department that will be followed by the Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Minister. With me here is the problem director of warning, Mr. Bilela Mohamed. He is going to present us now to the department. Thank you, Minister, Deputy Minister, the Ethnic Agent,
members of the portfolio committee, everybody. I would undertake to present the overview of the war on this, and halfway I had anticipated that then we would give the international region an opportunity to talk to the details in terms of the statistics expenditure as said as requested by the committee. How war on this was conceptualized was based on a report that came through, which was published by the Ocean Research Commission in 2012. Prior to that, the Ocean Research Commission had a benchmarking project whereby they were looking at the performance of the municipalities in terms of water facilities. And they were studying about 132 of the municipalities out of that project. Out of all the 237 based on the report, they were able to realize that as a country, South Africa, we lost about 36.8% of our water as physical losses. And when they tried to translate that 36.8%, it came to about 7.2 billion. That was on about 2012. Slightly further, I just depict the study and the municipalities that were involved. And if we look at it, we find that the upper municipalities where losses go as far high as 72.5%. There are those that are performing well and have losses less than 10%. But if we are to average out everything else, it comes to about 36.8%. Further on in 2015 as a department, we looked at the performance of the non-revenue water as depicted in that particular map. And those red spots clearly indicate where we have losses that far exceed 50%. And of course, the methods go there to indicate the losses that are high. When we did a proper analysis of that report, we also came to realize that most of the municipalities that were infected were part of our district municipalities, including the 27 county district municipalities that have been identified by government not to be performing well and which do not have enough skills. So in 2015, the then president, Jacob Zuma, announced in the State of the Nation address that he has noticed that we as a country need to conserve water, and he indicated the amount of water losses that we were incurring, and therefore identified the Department of Water and Sanitation to undertake training of 15,000 artisans or plumbers who will speak within the local municipalities. The project itself was launched in 2015, September, in Port Elizabeth. The objectives of the project were to train these 15,000 unemployed annual and water agents, artisans, and plumbers, with the end result of us being able to foresee a reduction in water losses, as already highlighted, but they were very high. And the high water losses were a threat to our water security. We also noted that there was also a need to inculcate a culture of water conservation within the community, and that was also lacking, and as such, some of these trainings or learners moved in aspects of advocacy. And of course, as a department, we thought, like all other national departments, we would be contributing to the target set out for the decade of the artisan as indicated in our national development plan. The department then recruited two implementing agents, namely Inland Water and Idarisita, who are here with us today, and a tripartite agreement was signed between the three. The first advert went out in 2015 to recruit 3,000 learners, But the responses, because it was a national asset, was more learned from Gauteng than that other provinces. This therefore resulted in us changing the approach when we went into the intake for the second phase in 2016. We then engaged the different provinces through their premier, and as such the recruitment was done in conjunction with the relevant provinces. The institutional arrangement, as indicated, DWS is the program manager, and we have the two implementing agents, mainly Rainwater and DWCTA. Rainwater has been responsible for stakeholder engagement, recruitment and selection, payroll-related matters, program monitoring, and placement of learners on the job placement in terms of training. And EWCTA has to take care of all training-related matters, which included the monitoring and ensure that there are training venues and facilities. As indicated, the project is supposed to cover all provinces of the country, and we had planned that it would run over a period of 5 years, starting from 2015 up to 2020. We also need to take note that in each phase, the learners would spend 3 years in training, those being part of the tutorials, practical work, and on-the-job learning. So the intake that came in 2015 is supposed to exit now in 2018. And the 2016 one will exit in 2019. Safe to say that phase three, which was supposed to take on about 5,000 learners, has been delayed due to several challenges. Those include the financial challenges that we do have, but there are also other challenges which include the placement itself within the workplaces. In conjunction with some of the service providers, they also indicated that they were battling to get places for some of the learners, because it's not only the Department of Water and Sanitation currently that is involved in the artisan training program, and as such, those were some of the reasons that we felt that we had to speak. In terms of our output, we looked at the water agents and the plumbers. The water agents will be dealing with issues around water conservation, pollution reduction, water wise household and gardening, advocacy, communication, basic leak detection. Most of these water agents are based within the municipalities, and they have been benefiting and they've been utilizing them to do such work. The artisans and plumbers, they could also assist with the municipalities, but some of them have been taken up by the private sector as well. But they do the general repairs and maintenance and fixing of leaks, so that in the long run we are able to reduce water losses. Safe to say that within the 27, some of the 27 district municipalities, it has become very difficult for us to attach some of these artisans, because they literally need trained people and they do not have mentors to coach these learners. And as such, we are of the view that there are several proposals that we might like to engage the committee on in us taking the project forward and dealing with some of the challenges that we have as a country. Can I request with the permission to ask the implementing agents to present, and then we will wind up with the budget and how we have used the funds and the recommendations as requested by the committee.
Chair, with us we've got Rainwater, who is implementing the program on behalf of the department, and the actual training and coordination of the training is done through EWCTA. We also have colleagues from EWCTA that will also present on their side the actual coordination of the training. groundwater.
Honourable Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honourable Member, and Honourable Minister, Honourable Deputy Minister, the CE has apologised for not being able to come today, and we did pay a formal apology, and we have designated myself as the HR executive to deal with the presentation today. I just want to say it is a privilege for myself and the team from Rand Water. I've got the talent manager Maureen Miles, and I've also got the program manager for Warren Leakes and the Rand Water Academy, Mr. Asif Ali, accompanying me today. So it's really a privilege for us to be with you today. In terms of the Warren Leakes project, the most recent reference. Oh, and myself. Sorry. Myself, Waida Mohammed, and HR executive at Rainwater, responsible overall for human resources, including the Rainwater Academy and for training and development related functions. The most recent reference to the Warren Leakes project was in President Ramaphosa's very first sermon, in which he mentioned it as a flagship project in the country, and we were very proud of that. We believe that that this is really a well-known project, and you know, it's the magnitude of it is quite significant in terms of projects across the country. The reference speaks to the magnitude of the project, and the presentation will certainly enlighten you know, the members to the impact across the country. The chief director from DWS has already spoken about the tripartite agreement that exists between DWS, ourselves, and the EWC. And to date, we have recruited a total of 10,366 learners nationally, with the total headcount sitting at February about 9,437 after an attrition rate. Student learners sometimes, you know, leaving the program, finding better paying employment, pregnancy, death, some other reasons, and so on. And then also just to say the target in terms of the intake of youth from the ages of about 18 to 34 years old would be the marginalized youth, and it looks at inclusiveness of marginalized youth across the country. I'll go to the presentation now. Sort of an introduction, high level introduction. We're going to look at Rand Water's role and responsibilities, the appointed service provider, training, recruitment, and headcount, the training placement status update, the PPE, what we call the protective clothing status, which has been a big issue sometimes in terms of learner complaints, the Warren Leakes training contract status, the program finance, the program challenges, and the recommendations. And also the Rand Water roles and responsibilities, being primarily training, recruitment and selection, the provision of training, provision clothing, settled engagement, training payroll management and monthly stipend payment. We had to put in place a complete payroll to deal with the monthly stipend payment of learners, and to ensure placement of learners at work sites suitable for workplace training, as well as program monitoring and evaluation, and reporting and feedback to all stakeholders, amongst others, the DWS and all relevant structures. In terms of the appointed service providers, there are a range of service providers, but we've just listed the main ones in terms of you know, the call center that we had to set up, Chair, and the call center is really deals with a multiplicity of issues, especially for learners to be able to call in with issues, with complaints, with inquiries, and so on. And we have quite a busy call center. And we've made sure that our call center is populated primarily of people living with disabilities, and it's completely run. The manager of the call center, in fact, is a person living with disability as well. And then we've got VIP payroll management. We do a lot of the work internally, but of course we have to start a separate payroll. We've got training recruitment, we've got the placement of artisans, and so those are just to give you a sense of the kind of services that we have to receive and have to go out to the market for. In terms of the ward lead trainee headcount nationally, total recruited number in 2015 was 2,899. Total headcount as for phase one, which was the phase of 3,000 learners. We had total headcount as of February 2018, 2,563. Artisans being 1,637, and water agents being 927. With an attrition there of about 356. The breakdown of phase one in terms of males and females, we've got males sitting at 1,562, and we've got females sitting at 1,011. And then phase two, we have 7,000 learners recruited in the second phase. Total recruited in 2016 was 7,467. Total net count figure as of February 2018 was 6,874. Artisans sitting at 2,924 and water agents sitting at 3,950. We had an attrition rate of 593. Males sitting at 3,023 and females sitting at 3,851. Phase three, which is the final phase, of 5,000 learners, that was the anticipated number. The chair here, I must just indicate that Rand Water has received a letter from the department indicating that we will no longer be dealing with the phase three, that we should actually just, you know, cap up to phase two, and that phase three would actually be rolled out in the 2018-2019 financial year from the Tuesday quarter as per the DWS ministerial directive, and we've got a reference that we've indicated there, 7.3.2, a Randwater reference received. So the jury's out in terms of that one, because, you know, obviously the magnitude of the project and you know, perhaps other reasons, I'm not sure, but we have prepared under the instruction of the Land Water Board on receipt of that letter, we have prepared a handover report and we have started to basically do a sort of due diligence on the project so that we can hand over as and when. But we have been directed by the chief director that we need to just sort of, you know, put that on hold. So our project plan would have led us to start recruitment in July
2017. Ngibona sathi ngizivakashi ilungele lami liyabulawa angazi lokuthi uyangena bangena labantu abawujonile bakhe kalabafetha manje bakhuluma ngale language ilanguage yami engayinyelebeleli and engiyimisele ukuthi ngizosebenzela ngayo abantu ngoba ma ngase manje kuthiwa nami ngikhuluma izulu ngiyakazayo ayezi ukuthi ngiphile. So asifunde nihloniphane bafethu.
Not yet kicked off because of the hold that was put on it. We would have started recruiting in July 2017, but we have not done that. The attrition rationale, the reason for learners leaving, some learners would be other job offers, personal reasons, medical reasons. Sometimes they complain that the stipend is too little, or they're no longer interested, they get other opportunities, or they're relocating, or sometimes in some instances we've even lost some of our learners to tragic circumstances. The next slide, Chair, we've got the War and Mixed Training Headcount Participants, Phase 1, February 2018, and you see I won't go into each number, but we've divided it up for province, and the disciplines being electrical, such as turner, instrumentation, welder, plumber, water agent, and basically just giving you the total for each discipline. The total being 2,563 for the phase one. And then for phase two, again, broken down for province to your left-hand side, and then across electrical, such as turner, instrumentation, welder, plumber, water agent, the total being 6,874. In terms of training placement, the War Leagues Phase 1 and Phase 2 trainings are placed both at public and private host organizations within each province, with a view to acquire their workplace training in order to be qualified as water agents and artisans. And it must be noted that some of the Phase 1 training placements were delayed due to what we call political reasons. There were all kinds of multiple stakeholders, but ultimately, we tried our best to resolve issues. Also, the lack of accredited workplaces to host learners for workplace experiential learning training, because it's legislated, and therefore it will be required that all the contracts of the effective training for phase one at least will be extended. Obviously, the first phase is the learning phase. So it's the phase in which you get the most difficulty. Ordinarily, you'd have about 6 months plan. We had about 5 weeks to plan for kickoff and launch in the Eastern Cape. Training placement enablement, we've looked at a number of, we've had to call in for assistance to facilitate the placement of these various phases. And this placement is across the country, Chair, whether it is our project or just generally in the country and even internationally, you find that placement for experiential learning is often a challenge, and what we're doing for our learners is that we are seeking the placements for them. Learners who fund their own training unfortunately have to seek their own placements, and often it can be quite a challenge to get the dedication in the host organization. And then just this is a placement update we've given you for phase one. We've got a little draft there indicating for phase one we've got 77% placed learners, and we've got 23% unplaced learners. And then we've also got for phase two water agents, you see we've got 96% placed with 4% unplaced. And then in our central region, we've got 99% placed with about 1% learners not placed. In the coastal region, we've got 56% placed, 44% unplaced, and then in the central region, again, you'll see inland, for artisans, we've got 39% unplaced and 61% placed. The War Leagues placement status update is indicated there for water agents. This is the national progress update, Chair, which is indicated on the table. And you know there are a number of reasons for the placement of learners or for learners in some regions not being able to be placed. And indeed in the first phase, Chair, you would have heard complaints from learners who would have seen that they complained that many of them were at home still because of some of the areas in which municipalities were not always in a position to absorb them at a particular point, and that's why we had to go to private sector companies. But you also get situations like we had in the Eastern Cape at one stage where the motor manufacturing companies were very happy to take our learners and to place them, but they've got their own apprentices and their own learners. And in one instance we had quite a large number of learners that went to a motor manufacturing plant, and during the induction process, the plant manager actually asked us to take our learners back because of already demands at that level, asking how much they were going to pay them, et cetera, et cetera. And we felt that, you know, we need to look at discipline in some of our learners, some of the areas, because they felt their own apprentices would be negatively impacted. So they are on both sides. I think there are quite a number of reasons, and it's something that we're working under the guidance of the project lead at DW is also trying to resolve on an ongoing basis. There's a lot of information. I think we put too much figures in here in terms of the placement status and so on, but just to say that you know, it's an ongoing work that we are work in progress that we are doing. In terms of the PPE distribution status, just to give you a sense of how we are doing in terms, every learner gets per year two sets of safety clothing issues. They get safety boots, they get a helmet, and they get their goggles. Outside of that, from the EWC, they will deal with their toolbox and some other requirements. And often you find that, you know, there are learners that will, you know, say that the two issues would not be enough, we would have some issues on quality, et cetera, et cetera. But we have tried, and then on brand will decide to also access emergency PPE stock comprising 3,000 sets to be available as of October 2017. Often students have complained about, learners have complained about PPE, and we are in the process of at the moment trying to distribute. We also have some financial constraints based on the funding availability to the project. The training contract status, phase one intake, 3,000 intakes, the start date was September 2015. The end date of those contracts is August 2018, and actual recruitment is 2,899. And then phase two is 7,000 intake, August 2016 was the start date. The closing date would be December 2019. We've actually recruited 7,467. And like we said, phase three, 5,000 intake, there have not been any recruitment. I believe that, you know, funding might also be a limitation. The program finance chair, we've just indicated the cost and broken down the cost as per the invoicing to the department. I won't go into the details, but as you can see, we've allocated the stipend payment as well as the placement, the contact center, the management thereof, and the running thereof, as well as the payroll and recruitment and the relevant salary in there. In terms of challenges, I'll just try and expedite this. Chair, this is where I have alluded to some of them yet. But the time given to implement phase one was too short. We were given 4 weeks to kick off. And ordinarily, you know, planning, we did manage it, but it was very tough. And planning for this kind of project, like I said, you know, you need something upwards of about 6 months. And we just made a mention of some of the issues that we think Rand Water has been breached from financing the program. From October 2017 up into including February 2018, and we have been noted for this by National Treasury, who have indicated that we may not, or the special director provide the amount of bridge funding that we have provided. So funding is certainly a challenge in the program, and the program budget is currently overspent. This is attributed to the outstanding payments from the department. Also, naturally, it has a ripple effect. So we have had monthly training stipends often being late, and then learners, you know, take to social media and express their dissatisfaction in the media when we do not have the funds to pay them in time. The PPE, which is the safety clothing distribution, training, monitoring, and evaluation across various provinces, and then the database reconciliation for province is often, you know, something that we need to go back on time and time again. And some of the program activities have been put on hold, subject to payment having been received from EWA. There's a growing trend in terms of queries pertaining to trade test inquiries. Trainees are often unsure on what is required to apply for trade test as well as into contact. These are some of the comments that we get from our call center. And the WarnLeaks Contact Center or call center has been sensitized on the trade test preparation process, and therefore we're equipped to advise the trainees. We have a number of trainees that have already achieved what we call the red seal, which is the artisan qualification. And we've got now, as of June, July, August, is a very busy time because our learners will be preparing for their and writing their trade test or completing their trade test. A formal communication will be distributed to all trainees, educating them on what is required. We've also got a system of regional coordinators, and these regional coordinators are supposed to support the provinces and try to deal adequately as they can with the challenges that do come up. The others relate to you know, the CPE. You know, we've got attendance registers that we, you know, often in dispute with learners on. And we've got a very healthy dispute resolution. We've got student representatives, but we've also got a labor desk. We've had quite a number of CCMA referrals. Yeah, we've had about 12 CCMA referrals. We've actually won all of them because usually they relate to disputes regarding attendance. You know, we insist on a doctor's note or whatever your circumstances are, and if you don't attend, we don't pay you unless you have a good enough reason. And we've had about 700 disciplinary cases as well that we've had to deal with. So we've got quite a firm hold on the discipline and the management of discipline. I think we I don't want to go into all the details, but you know, we've provided quite a bit. And some of it, I think, it's gone into too much detail. We put everything down. We have had ill discipline. I mean, 700 disciplinary cases should tell you that we've had, you know, quite a number of ill discipline amongst our trainees, often due to a lack of understanding around the contractual obligations. We've also had demands from some learners for 7,000, to be paid 7,000 rand as official apprentices, and, you know, trying to draw on the legislation to say that they need to get far higher stipends than what they are getting. And these things, it's not a salary, it's really a living stipend to assist you with your study related, your transport and perhaps your lunch requirements, etc., etc. And some of the municipalities with high water losses do not necessarily have sufficiently qualified artisans who can mentor the learners, because there's a formal training program that they have to sign off on, and we can't just put learners in places where they're going to photocopy stuff or be messengers. We need to actually have a portfolio in order for them to complete their artisan, their red seal exam or test. They would need to be able to show that. And then I'll just end off, Chair, by just saying that we have recommended consistency with regards to the payment of program funds, that gets maintained timely. And also we've asked for, you know, some, you know, cooperation, and that we may work with COFTA to intervene in terms of assisting with some of the groundwork to enable placement at municipalities. And also just to pose the question, perhaps what is the way forward regarding phase 3 implementation. And as I said at the beginning, we are very proud of the project. We believe that we've been able to include marginalized youth. And, you know, our board has a board resolution on risks associated with the project, both financially and reputationally. It's been excavated on the Rand Water Risk Register. And obviously with a big project such as this, it will not be without its challenges, both on our side, both on learners' expectation side. But there is a commitment to the nation that was made in the SONA by the President, and the 15,000 youth, that 15,000 youth would be trained. As I said today, we've trained 10,366, and we would like to be able to see the project to completion. And it's also, we're very grateful for the opportunity to come, and we would really like to, at some point, you know, under the leadership of the department, to invite members of the portfolio committee to visit some of our learner sites, interact with learners, and visit some of our administrators, visit our call center, etc. on our side. I think I will leave it there. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. So I want to take the presentation from the
Thank you very much, Chair, honorable members of the committee, Minister and his Minister. My name is Olebo Kambesnar. I'm a board member of EWCC. Just want to apologize for the absence of our CEO, who's currently involved in our final board meeting. And I'm with me here with the CEO of the CETA, who will take us through the presentation, Mr. Imelen Mokete.
Thanks a lot, Dr. Besnar, honorable member, chair and members of the committee, Minister and Deputy Minister and colleagues from DWS. Before I get into the presentation, because most of the things that we have prepared are similar and in sync with groundwater, because we are focused on the theoretical component of the training. They are focused on the practical placement on the training. So I thought that I should also give a brief overview. One, on the nature of the protocol agreement, which was signed between the department, groundwater, and EWCETA. For EWCETA, the role of implementing agent, number one, is that we should focus on the theoretical component that leads The theoretical component will include one, sourcing of venues. It will include the actual facilitation of training, registration of learners, because as you are aware, we've got one single national learner record database wherein, which is administrated by South African Qualification Authority. We're also responsible to monitor that standards are adhered to when it comes to qualifications, because as you are aware, each and every qualification has got rules on how you train, on how you assess, on how you moderate, and most importantly, that we adhere to the uniform principles and procedures. Whether a learner is in Eastern Cape, whether a learner is in the Northwest, they should be treated with the same rules and procedures. And then from a high level also, we are expected as an implementing agent to ensure that we train learners, one, on skills programs, two, on learnership, three, on artisan, but most importantly, we have infused an element of entrepreneurship. We are exposing learners that they should not just be trained to get employment, but also to understand if they want to open cooperatives, if they want to start their own business, that new venture component. And then I'm going to get into the actual presentation, starting at page 6, wherein I'm doing a breakdown. As you are aware, we have already enrolled more than 10,000 learners, which was for, the first 3,000 was for phase 1, The 7,000 was for phase 2. We are anticipating to train phase 3 when all issues are resolved. For phase 1, under the skills program of water conservation, we have achieved more than 2,548 learners and pitches from the 8 years. And then we enrolled 3,000 learners, and more than 2,548 learners have already exited the program, which according to us is an authority in training. It's a good number in terms of completion rates. And then on page 7, also for water agent skills programs, we initially had about 1,000 learners and here the throughput is 900, and 5 where in all learners are already certificated. Then the third component of the training, which are apprenticeship training or artisans, we have registered over 2,000 learners, and then currently about 1823 are in the program. As you are aware, artisans are about 3 year qualification if you don't, because there's institutional training, then there's 24 months of practical training, and then from there you get what we call trade test, so that you can be examined, and then you get the Red Sea, which my colleague indicated to from around the water. And we've already achieved, we've already done 312 pre-test preparations. We have 42 artisans that are already before time because they had requisite skills and they were subjected to recognition of prior learning. And then out of that, about 5 already are permanently employed with various municipalities. And then for water conservation and water demand management skills program for phase 2 now, we had an input of about 7,000 learners, and then because the program started only last year, and taking into cognizance the various phases which will start with your actual theoretical component of the training, and then from there learners have to be exposed to workplaces, and then after workplaces they have to be subjected to what we call assessment, and then after assessment there's moderation, which the CWP is to validate if all the standards were adhered to. And then the achievement in that particular component is that we already have certificated 982, and we are waiting because we are expected to reassess those particular outcomes where learners are not have not met requisite skills and so forth. And then water agents also, we had an input of 3891 and then throughput of 768. And we are continuously receiving because due to challenges that we have led to, we don't have control anymore to say that learners would stick to deadlines when it comes to submissions of POEs and so forth. So it's a challenge that is there, but we are using other forms of activities to ensure that we try and make sure that we don't lose the learners from the program. And then for apprenticeship for phase 2, the input was 3,089, and currently we have 2,682 learners in class. They have already completed the 6 months, which is the institutional training, and then 312 are subjected to the pre-test, because you can't just qualify, you have to enter into the pre-test before and so forth. And then I thought that it would be important, Honorable Chairperson, that I just indicate on slide 16 and slide 17 the training process that gets followed, so that I don't speak foreign to Honorable members. The training process that we follow on is that learners get recruited from various municipalities, and then we contract skills development providers, because as a city, we don't have capacity to say that will train, because we can't be a referee and a player in the same playing field. And then learners get inducted into the project and qualifications, so that before they enter into whether it's a skills program contract, whether it's a learnership contract or apprenticeship contract, they are aware of the obligations that we expect them to do as learners. Then they start with the institutional training. Then after completion of the institutional training, they undergo workplace training. And then artisans go through various test preparations. They write the test, and then the last stage is certification and exiting of learners. And then on slide 20, for entrepreneurship components of the training, we have a breakdown of the province. The target that we had was to ensure that we recruit at least 3,000, but it's always better to recruit more learners in cases of dropouts that you are not found wanting when it comes for reporting purposes and so forth. And then already out of the 3,000, we have 483 learners that have been found competent. We are working with the others to make sure that we reach at least more than 2.5, which is an acceptable number in terms of the reporting frameworks and standards in the field. And then on slide 22, these are our providers that we have contracted for that particular entrepreneurship component. And then on page 26, it's a breakdown of learner distribution. I think the Honorable Chief Director also has indicated earlier that there was a lot of concentration of learners who were recruited, particularly in your Gauteng and so forth. But we have tried through various ways with rank facility, but we have tried that we ensure that each and every province has got a say and an expression in terms of learners that are beneficiaries in terms of this project. And then also on page 29 is a breakdown of water agent learner distribution province also. And then I'm just going to take that in terms of slide 31, whereby we are dealing with the trades. CITAS each and every year expected to conduct what we call a research on what is critical and what is scarce in the sector, whereby we include labor market intelligence. And out of that, these are the five critical trades that came out strongly from that research to say that electrical, theater, internal instrumentation, plumbing and welding are coming in strongly, wherein employers are ready to employ those artisans that have these requisite skills, both in the private and the public sector. So hence we decided when we do the combination of trades with the department, we agreed that this will, because the top 10 trades, but let's focus on the five based on that particular research. And then page 33 also is a breakdown of the province of the learners there. And on page 35 we've also declared we've got about 29 service providers. Their names are there and they come from various provinces, because we didn't want to take a provider in Gauteng and expect them to do training in Kip and so forth. And all of these providers, you'll appreciate that they are both public and a private service provider. They had to be chosen based on the capacity that they have, because we had to do due diligence to check capacity and also to check readiness to host particular learners before we could come up with that particular test. Then from there, it's just statistics, certification, problems, face, and so forth. But going into the nuts and bolts, whereby we are having now challenges at page 73, obviously number one, I think we can run away from that. We are having serious issues with payments. I'm sure Honorable Chairperson, the board member here, just to show the severity of both wanting to understand what is going on, and also the platform to also raise their frustration with seemingly today that the board member comes with the CEO, who is also an ex-official member of the board, so that we can also impress also on the committee to say that the reputational damage of the organization is at stake. And what is also needs to be noted is that this current board is ending with them on the 31st of March, and this is their last board meeting. There is not one to do a handover with this great area, so that we don't understand if we put the organization in serious jeopardy in terms of finances and so forth. And then there's issues of delay that my colleague from Rand Water indicated. I'm having a stack of legal letters from service providers who are challenging us day in, day out, to the extent that now we brought copies that can be shared with the committee. And normal disrespect my colleague said already alluded to, but just as a parting shot, one is that FPWC Tower Research and Training Institution, we are closing our books on the 31st of March. We have not sent through invoice and create a mess on our books because we don't know whether to take provision and accruals for the next financial year. We don't know we need the money on campus. Already AG is raising serious matters when it comes to those particular issues. And I think also the issue of contractual issues whereby you find in the media that there's other implementing agents, but you have an existing legal document wherein the termination clauses are clearly there that you will write to me and give me an intention to terminate if I don't fulfill particular obligations after that protocol agreement. Then so those are just issues that we are hoping that through this intention we will be able also to get a decisive so that when we report back to our principals, we can have at least a prudent answer to say that this is where we are going. We don't know whether this is coming. Learners are there, and it interrupts our cash flow projections and so forth. But the good that came out of this project, one, is that as an organization, we have noticed that we have capacity to can do training because it's not easy to take 15,000 learners in 3 years. That's number one. Number two, it has bolstered because we are expected to report on what the industry is doing and also as per our annual performance plans that we have with our sister department, which is the Department of Education and Training. It has helped us a lot, particularly on issues of accidents, because I know I'm sure you appreciate the cost of training and accident. As an organization, we don't even have that budget. But through this partnership, we for the past 2 financial years, we have been reporting last numbers in terms of the performance indicators and so forth. And we have seen the good. We've seen learners learning skills that will help, and because we can't put out those from universities, but these are the skills that are needed. If we can make sure that we finish and show the water gauges, we need to finish by the end of the day. We won't have these issues with the water crisis that we are hitting all around the country. Thank you very much.
Something else to have
let go of that frequent problem, whether you are able to maintain that fixed infrastructure, if you like. So that's where we really should from where I'm sitting, understanding, you know, how the process is evolved. That is a submission on one day. We have been waiting.
To the vision of the budget. We told them we'd be submitting the budget. I thought there was going to be a presentation, as we thought.
You want to come?
The chair has requested that if it is possible that we be given an opportunity to do so. Just that part that this is the case. We've got a and that should be able to do it. Because it will also expand the propagation of some of the issues that we've been expecting at the stage.
Good morning to the committee members and our colleagues. Yesterday we were meeting with the select committee. We did a thorough presentation on the financial management of the department, and more on this was also one of the things that we highlighted on. So we just wrote some of the information that we presented to the select committee yesterday in as far as it affects war on this. You would have heard from our colleagues in Redwater and EWC that they are raising concerns about the funding, that there are outstanding invoices that have not been paid. I think Redwater indicated 128 million on their side, and then there's another plus minus 300 million from the EWC that has not been paid. We are aware that there's plus minus 550 million outstanding invoices for both Redwater and EWC that the department is not paid. And I think it has caused some financial distress to the entity. Chairperson, just some background on the war on leaks. When the project started, this was in 2015, it was funded from the water trading entity. As you know, the water trading entity, they generate their own revenue, and then from that revenue, that's how they were able to pay for the war on leaks. It was never funded from the fiscal. So we never got money from National Treasury to enable us to pay for war on this, hence it was always with the water trading entity. Then we had a peculiar situation in the 2016-17 financial year where the water trading entity had an overdraft of 2.6 billion. I think we presented on this one to both SCOPA and the portfolio committee. After this overdraft of 2.6 billion from the water trading entity, the account was closed by National Treasury. They to submit a revised budget indicating how they will reduce their overdraft from the 2.6 billion to 0 basis paid back. And one of the things that were identified by the National Treasury was there are projects done by the trading entity that are not deemed to be the core mandate of the water trading entity. In total, I think there were four projects, and War on Leaks was one such project that was identified not to be in the core mandate of the trading entity. So both from the AG and from the National Treasury, they felt that it was better placed in the main account than in the trading entity. Because when you look at our conceptualization document for the founding of the water trading entity, this wasn't really, it didn't find its space within the founding document of the trading entity. This is where our challenges began, because now in the middle of the year, 2017, around April, War on Leaks, amongst other projects, was then transferred from the trading entity to the main account without funding. You would have seen on our documents that the total budget for War on Leaks is 4.2 billion throughout the duration of the program. So we're looking at 4.2 billion for just War on Leaks that was transferred from the trading entity coming to the main account without a budget. In the previous financial year for 2017-18 financial year, the one that's ending up in the month of March, the payments that have been made for the ONDs, I know from the main account we paid 573 million as of today, with those outstanding invoices of 1.8 million for rent voucher and another flat man.
So I'm sorry to be why is the document?
Chair, the information I'm talking to is included in the presentation, the first presentation that was run by the program manager.
And I was going to be led from the information that is in the question.
It's in slide 18, the very first presentation that was done by the department. Just to clarify, the information, the details of it is included in the presentation that was done by the chief director. It's just that I'm adding additional insights that we provided to the select committee yesterday. So I might be providing more elaboration on the information that you already have, but the crux is included in the slides that we presented, that we submitted to the committee.
You do not have those slides. It's not like with you.
We do. We do have them. It's the one that we shared with the slip.
All what I'm saying is make copies available for us. That's all.
No, Jim, we'll make the copies available for you. Thank you, Chair. In the 2017-18 financial year, the total that was then paid by the main account for the war on this was 573 million. There is another 100 million that was paid by the trading entity. Chair, this created financial distress in the department, especially the main account, because this is almost a billion that was paid that was not funded. And hence the issues that are being raised by our colleagues in EWCTA and in Rainwater that there are submitting invoices, but the department has not been in a position to pay those invoices, which is true, because they are not funded. We have engaged as the members of top management on a way forward, especially for phase three of the war on lease, with the remaining 5,000 intake of students in terms of do we continue with phase three, given the current situation, that even the current phases that we've already taken on, being phase one and phase two, of the 10,000 students, it was also unfunded. So the remaining portion of phase one and phase two, we still have to decide in terms of how we want to fund it so that the students can complete their training. But as far as phase three is concerned, looking at our financial situation right now, I think it would be premature for us to commit and go ahead with phase three when we still have to sort out the financial matters related to phase one and phase two. So that's where we are at the moment with the funding for warning.
Okay, that helps save for additional information that we are going to receive at your department. Phase 3 is still being debated, is that what you're saying in that chat? You have, though, taken red water out of the picture. That effect. Hence, the red water is now preparing a handover report.
On this date of
natural question that should have followed would have been the rationale behind the shifting responsibility from groundwater to that would have been a natural again another natural member that threw to field questions and comments. Of course the respective service providers, not service providers, the implementing agents, have made mention of payment stories, invoice stories. Because another natural question that would have arisen would have been whether the service providers are paid on time. The president has made it very clear that instead of the nation, the service providers must be paid on time, 30 days to be precise. Whether we are living to that expectation. And then linked to that also would be the source of the budget. And yes, WTE later to main account. And also the fact that it is the program is not on APP and payment plan. It means that, or it meant that you needed to take from Peter to pay Paul for all intents and purposes. Whether that is the proper management of test care money. These are the issues that I think the fundamental issue here was members of to make up their minds on the intervention that we should make. I guess the fundamental issue here, Minister, that we are really concerned about, this has been something of concern to us in the Parliament. Here you're talking about fixing infrastructure of municipalities without municipalities being involved. You have been expecting here a partnership between the municipalities, between COPTA and the department. It comes natural. In a project or a program of this nature, was upon failing this accident that supposed to go straight into this but to fix that intended infrastructure so that you limit the percentage of the non-revenue water. That is supposed to come natural. There is no skyrocket money in that. Unless there were other intentions that were not privy to. What also worries most is that again, it has to do with the policy of government minister that talks to those that are trained to take care of money. Suddenly, private sector snatches them. What is the policy? Sorry, Mr. Spencer, not just Mr. Chairman. Not just Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chair. It is, you're right what you're saying. Because we must also remember that municipalities already have an organogram. And according to that, it's budgetary implications to them as well. But there are also many of those youth sitting at the municipality that was halfway trained by former service providers that was there in leakages and in wastewater treatment work. And stuff like that. So I think we have to involve in terms of budget our district municipalities and our municipalities that has to that's going to use these people as the whole responsibility on the bottom of water and sanitation. So there might be funding in some or other way that they could find through COPSA and through the planning of in the equitable shares and the MIT grants and stuff like that, there must be something that municipalities can search into to get some kind of funding to assist in payment of training of these people. Because the country needs these people and we have to make a plan.
Yeah,
they are able to meet the demand. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mwana.
Thank you very much, Chairman. In one of my questions, I have been covered by the political response from the minister. You know, I was asking myself for the implication of the program being moved from rainwater to Santos. Isn't it now rainwater now has got at least a foundation? And moving into Santos is a bit now chaotic in the present day. Rainwater is stable and he started, knows what are the imperatives, the problem, challenges and so forth. Now they should be asking them questions, just strengthen them. They will move forward with the delegation. And just pushing this from Peter to Paul, Paul doesn't want to play so much, to start teaching the skills. It's a problem. But I think they've answered. Every entity that comes to us here is putting the blame to the department. Department is not funding. It's not paying them. You are giving this entity's program to run with, but you don't give them a relay. You don't give them a machine to go forward and give it to other people. How do you expect a relation to be completed? Don't pay them. So everything links to the department. The very same people we are entrusting our water with. It's a challenge, but Minister, you can see, it's a challenge in our department. Because you know exactly what is supposed to be. You are saying you have not budgeted. Let alone putting that in the APB as the PVC. You knew 2016 was not in your APB. And you never even tried to put it in your budget. My question will be, is this thing well located in the water trading entity? This water only. This is good. I think even the Auditor General indicated that this is a problem. This is a problem. And what did you do when the Auditor General told you about those things? The oversight responsibility or mechanism driven by the department in terms of the payments to the program. In fact, even the monitoring part of it. You know, in 2015, there was a rainwater. There's a Zamangwane. You know what is happening down there? We know exactly. We have no constraints. We did not fly to Parliament. In Umjidi, in Tanzania, there's a Zamangwane. Zamangwane, if I'm not mistaken, that's a company. Because you have two companies already and so forth. It trained, I think, 20 or more people. I don't know. There are many people to be artisans, to be plumbers. Then these people were not paid on time. I don't know whether maybe you'll say, no, it's because you don't get money, from the department. Two, the issue of now these people, they were almost 1.5 years, they're not doing anything, they're not paid. Even the company, I don't know whether it's run away. They have been trained for almost a week or two. They were promised the certification, they did not get anything. And hence you expect these people to go and look if maybe they are not absorbed by municipalities. They must go and look for jobs with their skills. But they don't have any professional certificate that have been given. I'm specific with this one, but this is throughout Mpumalanga. Because they also had in commerce. You understand what I'm trying to say. I can give you the names if you want to. Names of those people. So they came to my constituency. I just never want to talk to the department about the most things. And then how long does it take to start? Most especially we come to Sita and you say you are taking this to different colleges. How long does this program to learn plumbing, personal pipe, so how long does it take? Because I've seen what rainwater has presented. It's just a short course. When it comes to CETA, a long process. And what NQF level
are you placing those learners when they have completed? And how do you mesh the existing problems in municipalities? Now water leaks are there. And you say you have got the study. How do you correlate the two things? Because we want this thing to be dealt with, because we're losing water but the current process. Then what monitoring to you EWC? What monitoring tool do you have to track the progress of achievement? They have finished there, then because they finished two achievements. I think we have mentioned Health Sibant, we have mentioned some, the other one in the Eastern Cape, the Health Sibant is a Pumalanga and so forth, which I want to go and see. And it has the achievement colleges. Red Water, you said yourself, you invite portfolio committees. We are there, down there, as constituent offices. We'll come to you. We'll come to you through your sub-district or sub-office and say, can you please, as a member of parliament, take me? Without me, we are indicating to you in advance. It will be an impromptu visit. Because, Chairperson, planned visit, I have put. These ones, all of them, they are very good. You find out they even make tea for you. I don't want their tea. I want the same delivery down there. So if it comes in an impromptu visit, then take me to where you say this thing is happening. You find chaos because they are not prepared. You know, that's where you can say, ha, ha, ha. You are not telling us the truth in the department. So impromptu visits are better than the planned visits. And do we have any legal contract? Red Water, EWC. Do you have any legal record or contract between you and the department which will end up helping to find out the records? Should there be any problems in the provision, in the provision whatsoever, that is given. So if you can tell us whether you have a written contract with the department. Let me stop there for now, but I do have a lot of questions there. They are in here. So that I can give other members a chance.
Ukhombisa ukuthi umuntu
nithini lapho labo bantu kumaqeqesha kuphinde bahlale emalokishini okokuqala baholelwa ngemali enibathengisa yona okunye eyi nami okunye yilokhu engifuna ukukwazi kumele ukuthi sengathi nesikhathi lesi enibaqeqesha sona ke nisivezele lapho ukuthi nibaqeqesha isikhathi esingakanani ngoba ukuqeqeshelwa nje ukulamba akusona isikhathi esiningi ongazisitathela ukuthola mhlawumbe ungaze kuphele nokunyanga ngabe nirongi ngisazobuya kuningi okunye-ke nani ngifuna sikwazi la ngabe lo msebenzi lona labantu benhlambane eqeqesha abantu yekabani ubani umnikazi wayo malini ekhishiwe inina yokuthi nayo imali ezwa kuma-province komasipala ezoqeqeshwa abantu why ngikusho loo nto na ngikushiso ukuthi sibonile la sibe nenkinga la minister sibe nenkinga enkulu baya kwena sihlala la sibone khona ukuthi kukhona nje lo busy la kulo mnyango wethu odla imali ngamabhoholi thola ukuthi amabhoholi abe digwa nje yonke indawo ashiywe ngenamanzi amasendikhayikhaya ashiywe ngenamanzi nomuntu oyi-one othola kathi unikezwe bethenda enye indlela yokudliwa kwey'mali lana ukuthi lolu hlelo lwazi ubani malini ebekele okunye engifuna ukukusho la ngoba sangathi isikhathi esiningi sisenkingeni ngayo uyabona le nto ya-water leaking sisenkingeni ngayo omasipala ngiyakubonga lokukokuthi sihlalo uthi lolu hlelo siyalikhuluma kodwa masingona bakhona mhlawumbe abakhona abathinto omasipala or ukhopha uyabona nangenisadeendasit emalokishini amanzi avuza ukufonelana bekuhlunguza uphala imoto yakho eceleni ufona kwenzeka ilutho ephoenix kuyimanje oba ngikhuluma nawe umasipala lapha okhombisa ukuthi ngasemantashikombe okukhombisa ukuthi bekade ngazi mhlawumbe wayebiziwe kublokhe i-ipi washiya kanjalo ngikhuluma ngoku-friday ndifika ekhaya washiya kanjalo amanzi imoto mayihamba njashaya peko ngomsombuluko ngabuyela bek ngiyoyidlula kodwa ngathola sithili lento esekhona ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi lithina-ke la njengoba thina sikulo mnyango waka-water and sanitation usiza ngani ukuhlala nani la silosixoxa izinto ezingenzeki besisempumalanga as uza kwetesha empumalanga ngiyezwe ngikhuluma ngokhesibanzi konakele konakele empumalanga mina iye ngiqhazula indaba yokuthi sizohlala la kube mnandi ukukhuluma sijabulele la bantu oba kakunina kusho ukuthi khona laba badlayo kulezi bantu zabakhokhilentela ngiyabonga ngisazwe kuye kunina
many of the signs people have to go to apply, and they came back with no employment, being stranded. I would like to see, to hear if the danger of this is being realized. There's a problem of people being unemployed and sometimes even turning into crime. I would also like to know how long the training is. I would like to know who this company is that does this training, who owns it, and how much is it paid, what budget is provided for their service. For instance, there was a situation when someone who was doing borehole delivered a very short job, and even the money that was used to pay the person or company was an abuse of funds. Another issue is the leaking of water. In townships, very, very bad. For instance, in Phoenix, near Mount Edgecombe, on Friday, the member was there. Till the following week, she came back to check. And the pipe was still leaking and nothing was being done. And this is a serious wastage. The concern is that members sit here and talk to the officials, but by not being there, you get misled because nothing happens. You only end up with discussions which cannot be come at all.
Thank you. Ms.
Chapman? Sure, thank you very much. Chair, this issue of the human chair starts from the Water Research Commission, which published a report that identified the problem into more than 132 local municipalities in the country. The Department of Water and Sanitation then decides to intervene in this finding. Now the ministerial instructions then get to instruct rainwater to implement a project on war on the water. I thought that chair in this meeting will be given firstly the net of this price. And this price is going to perform the same. I thought in this meeting chair will be given a contract, the tripartite contract, the legal document. Then the water department. Because there is a contract chair, you get obligation of each party. In the instruction letter that goes to the water chair, it will even go detail as to how they expect that you implement the project from the department to the water. Now, if you don't have that information chair, you deal with a project that is at the head of corruption. 1.2 billion dollars of public money has been spent. I would say now, as we speak, that there is no property of use of that money. The budget is 4 billion dollars, but informs us 4 billion dollars. May I say that? Just inform.
our chair, the department does not have money. The bills that we are seeking with the CETA, both CETA and Red Water, more than 500 million, are not going to be paid. It's correct that the president, former president, Zuma, pronounced the president. In the process of him pronouncing what is being informed by the president, President Zuma did not have a big appetite for where we stand worldwide. The State of the Nation Affairs Minister to brief the President on the program in the cabinet. That's true, these are the programs that the President will speak with us all informed by the cabinet. Not initiating. Same applies that I hear that the underwater things are heading that we cannot do in the school about. The President speaks on this thing because it's informed by the department. But the President does not know that this thing is funded. The President does not know that this thing is not funded. The President does not know that it's not in the history of this government. But the President is speaking about. So he misleads the public. A good intention. Right? The chief director responsible for this position in the department, in her presentation to the chair, does not say anything about the problems. Everything is good, it's beautiful, nice, until when the CETA comes in. We now know that there are problems. What makes you hide information? What makes you present this wonderful picture for the department when you know very well that you are sitting with the problem? You're sitting with the problem under the leadership that you have a project that is not funded, that's not that money. The AG has already identified that it's regular. And the regular means a number of things that you have to investigate, to recover, you have to take action. Again, it's properly spent in public money. So it's not normal, Chair, that that will treat this issue as one of those presentations that we have received in the government and the government and so on. Someone will have to account. Someone will have to take this to the team. So I'm trying to locate it from where it started, Chair. Because if you don't address that issue, Chair, you end up with problems. You end up raising issues on IAP because you've not done the time to address people that they are saying in Kumalanga that they are not being paid salaries. But the bigger problem we're dealing with is that 500 million that need to be paid before the end of April, before the end of March. In the department's coming budget that we as parliament has sort of approved our budget, there's no money for what we're doing. There's no money that we're going to give you the 4 billion that we talked about, either in the MTF or the CFO. There's no money that is there in the budget. And the CFO, you will ask the president, why do you have to speak with us about those 4 billion that you know very well? You don't have that money. That money is not with you, you don't have it. In fact, you're still with the project that has collapsed. So if I give you this thing, Chair, without really disclosing of what the Ministers of Labour should do about the state of finance of the department, it's clear that this project has collapsed. Right? So if it has collapsed, what does it mean? Good. In your presentation, Chief Director, you have been moving forward with the project. It's lovely. You don't even say that you have decided that the process, the department, that this matter will now be handled by another implementing agent. Now your Mshatuzi will have to be now in charge. Or now with intervention of the minister that comes in and says, what informs that, in fact, that this project will then move to Mushaki. I hear the minister is again a politician there who would like to visit Mushaki. I've had informed that if it was not this intervention or the change in the guards at the volunteer level, would this project have gone to Mushaki? You know the status of Mushaki where we are sitting now. The status of Mushaki is run by one man there. There's no board there. There's no direction that we are taking this project. Now, I think, Chair, what we are thinking is here is a serious development. I don't want to be negative all the time, but when some of us, when we speak, are saying to be just negative people, not only is in our brain, but yes, this is a problem. And on the side of the department, there's no acknowledgement that we're having a problem. Now, the CETA and rainwater, rainwater, in fact, has already tapped into its own application. Its own national revenue. That's not budgeted to deal with the war needs. So let's get that contractual arrangement that is in place here between the interest parties. Secondly, the issue of CCPA having to pay for the project, okay, how does it come in? And what arrangement has been made with the payment, the first payment that were done by the TCCA chair, whoever that was paying for the project. What arrangement have you put in place there? And how do you account for such money? So for me, I'll be here to share that we start this process of getting to know those instructions and then getting to know those contractual arrangements in place. But I want to propose, Chair, that we have to subject this project into that inquiry of the committee. We have to subject this project, Chair, to be part of that inquiry that joins the SCOPA and the portfolio committee are going to engage in. Because if we don't do that exercise, Chair, you're not going to really get real accountability of how $1.2 billion was spent. It's good to see the numbers here, but I've never seen anything audited that speaks to the money spent in the project. How much money was spent? Is audited this money? The accountability of each and every cent that was spent in this project. But clearly moving forward, Chair, a political decision has to be taken in this. That what we do now, that we know this department does not have money. And there's no money allocated next year, I mean, in the coming budget that is coming in on the 1st of April. There's no money for war on this. That we as Parliament have passed. We still have to deal with the $2.2 billion overdraft, which is the subject again of that inquiry, it's going to that inquiry. So where I'm sitting, I don't see this project moving forward. What one of the most beautiful projects, but badly located again. The local government issue, the chair raises this point again. The problem is identified into a number of these municipalities that deal with the situation. And therefore, the department takes the responsibility. And I'm not sure how involved is local government, because if we have that legal arrangement of the tripartite and the hands of the department, rainwater and CETA, we have put in local government as part of the as the recipient, in fact, of this trade, of this plumbers, this artisans. Local government comes in, etc. Department does not deal with issues of the community. How do we instruct municipalities to chief director and engage with them around the issue of the community? It's not your mandate. It's not your constitutional mandate. It's not there. We deal with bulk. That's why oversight has a level of bulk. Now, so we can have much toilet, we can have much reading, and it's not our way. It's not what we are here for. We take a mandate that is not our mandate, we spend so much money, it collapses in our hands. That's a problem that we're sitting with. So my take, Minister, is that with an advice that we will give maybe to the department is that as a matter of agent, you need to engage with your government. As a matter of agent. With that 4 billion rand budget that you put aside that you don't have, take that budget to local government. You say, local government, this is a project that is meant to help you, but it's collapsing, you don't have money. Maybe local government will embrace the business plan. Between the maybe local government will then embrace this project. Because where we are sitting at 18 DG, you don't have this money. Are you going to money? But it's part of these instructions that were given that are not funded. They are not funded, but are instructions that are given. Rainwater go implement these things. Rainwater go to recruit 7,000 young people. They are revolting every day, we see them. They are revolting every day. And then the chief director talked to us and said, there's nothing wrong. We see them every day. You see that they are revolting. They are demanding their stuff and they are demanding their money. They are demanding to be placed and all of that. So there's a problem here. This litigation that you now have there before you, very soon you are going to be attacked, by the way. Yeah, they are going to attack. Because you're not able to pay your bill. The chair makes a point here. The minister and the flag, the president, gathered the minister and the country policy that all invoices must be paid within 30 days. How old are these invoices that we have to do with now? Right? So you're dealing with a problem that the department does not want to acknowledge that we have a problem. It's only those that, it's the same chair when you deal with the issue of rebellion, where they get instructions, and the number of these instructions is like that have gone wrong. They're not funded, they're not costed. There's no study that was even made that this is how we're going to approach this project. But you must provide budget, and you have provided budget. And I'm telling you, part of what we're going to be doing is to hold those who know very well that this thing were not meant even to be budgeted for the fake money. How do you release fake money to something that you know is not even properly funded? Properly infected and set up. And government money to go out there. Management of that money. Corruption that then happens there. So I'm saying that for us to find a way as a matter of pigeon chair, maybe that we try and talk to government. But please alert the president. Minister, please alert the president about the problems with this particular project. So unfortunately, President Zuma has been wonderful what he put into the project. The one, in fact, that launched the project, but he's not telling the truth that, in fact, as we launched this thing with you, President, there's no money. It's not a question of we're going to get money from voters in the nation. No, it's not. But they made him launch the project. And the next president will do the same. He has done the same, in fact. Made the slam grounds and all this project. We're happy of war and leadership. There is so many people, but they're not telling the president the truth of the problems that we are going to encounter this project. We're going to make a report, Chair. This engagement that we are having here, it goes to Parliament. We're going to make a report. We're going to make our own recommendation. Because we don't only meet with you and engage with you. We'll make our own decisions. But the point I'm making is that this matter must be part of the entire inquiry that we're dealing with around the issues of how public money spends are being spent. The minister has been informed about the financial status of the department, we are aware of what it said.
No money.
But we'll deal with such matters, Chair, at a particular time. But I thought that I should just raise this issue. But please give us the documents that are very important for us. Because those documents, we'll study them, understand them, and then look into whose responsibility is in that document. Who must fund, who must do what, who must do what, the obligation of each every part. parties are doing. For now, we're just going to be really trying to demand this payment. Unless it's a new thing, but it's in the contract that the department is going to fund the project. So the department would have to get that money. Because once, the stacks of them, I'm so afraid that they're not going to land the court, or the air court, and then the court will then pronounce and make judgment against the department. Against the landlord, not even the department, but the landlord. And the city. Where's the phone now? That's the problem, Chair, that I thought we should sort of try, deal with this issue, try and assist again, but really try and get answers into how best we can resolve this issue, which is an embarrassment, in fact, to such a wonderful cause that has been started. But it's not the money. It's not the money. Thank you very much.
Maybe a simple question from me, Minister, should be as follows, as to what is the proper way of running this program, a program that has everything to do with the municipalities. Should we still continue making use of your rainwater or your center, or should there be an arrangement agreement or an understanding with COPTA? This is a program that to a very large extent talks to COPTA.
I went home on Saturday last weekend to transfer. As I was driving to my brother's house in Georgia, I drove over water, clay water. I mean, you can see Georgia, like statements in Georgia, you can imagine also, you know, townships. But this morning I went to the Rodebush. I don't know which tribe it is, the bishop's tribe to school. Water is just running like cars are just like that in the street. But already there was the indication people are there very early in the morning. People are there, they're working there. But in Makana it's just down in the township, nothing. And that's the story we are talking about here. When we consider therefore the program as to whoever it belongs to. It should be considered very, very carefully. Certainly, municipalities must play a role. There's no way you can run something like that without municipalities. Yesterday there was a big question which is coming through here, but differently. How do you expect municipalities to pay for these leaks, you know, repairing these? A lot of these municipalities are very poor. So that is why I think the question is very, very pertinent for us to have a discussion with our colleagues. Now, Chair, you were asking the same question in a different way. What is the proper way of running a program like this? Needs to be integrated. You cannot do it without having collaboration across the department. Even during settlements, by the way. During settlements, of that also, actually, we should be part of it. As water and sanitation. We can't be out of it. Because when you build houses, you go to make sure that energy is there for electricity, because it's a human settlement now. Water is there to make sure there's water. And you can make sure that even the federal municipality is there. It's not to be, it's a human
different settlement as much as housing and education. So it's such a complex thing. Correctly with the point of view, the question you're asking here is that when you, as a Department of Water and Sanitation, when you conceptualize a program like that, you can therefore do that when you want. You want to be as inclusive as possible to make sure that the Spanish in particular has a map. Because you map out, you know, the other thing, I once built houses in Tata, in Tennessee, for houses, well, not very much before, the concept for that, because the person was, at that time, she was Minister of Housing. We all met and said, this doesn't work. We need to master it. Even Tata built these houses. They were trying to get water. Nobody knew the map. The registration map in this area. An old man from the West retired a long time stood up there and said, the problem here is that we who worked and actually laid out this infrastructure were never consulted to just let people know this is where it goes from there to there to there. There's no support in Tata, but there's no water in the villages around that there. The old man said that. That's the essence of the question that the chair is asking. It cannot be just water and sanitation. It's going to be water and sanitation in Cocta and the municipalities themselves, whether district or local or both. So that is the route we think we go. The master plan will do this kind of thing, which you were asking about. And so it's being worked through. Is heading that project to the department. This is how we will work on it. The next meeting I'm going to have is going to be with all the municipalities in the next 2 weeks. And then we discuss how we move forward in terms of making sure that everything that relates to water, relates to water, distribution point of water, is managed correctly rather than by the city department.
Thank you very much, Minister. Slide 21 of our presentation is indicating the way forward that the department is proposing, acknowledging the fact that there are no funds available to continue with the project. And we are basically saying in order to take the project forward as a department, we're requesting that we needed to consider the following two options. Which we needed to request for funding, consider finalizing the current two phases and stage inheritance of the project in the interest of water security. We're also saying that that will also assist in addressing the skills shortage, especially in the 27 district municipalities, and also minimize the number of unskilled youth contributing to poverty alleviation. So we do acknowledge that there are no funds available, and we are saying, also acknowledging the fact that perhaps the department, in hindsight, we should have involved in COFTA in our proposal, and that we move from now on with COFTA, who is basically responsible for the performance of municipalities, as well as the Department of Education and Training, because we think that in the country, that is the department that is responsible for training. Rather than us to respond to what the chairperson is saying, that are we considering continuing with these implementing agents? We have also looked at that because we still have admin fees that we are paying the implementing agent. When the Department of Higher Education and Training that is actually doing the job, that job created to do that job. So that is the proposal that we are making as a department that we are hoping that, but we still believe in the project. It was done in good cause. Perhaps. In hindsight, we are realizing that there are mistakes that were done, and we are committed to move forward and bring all stakeholders that have to do with the program and see that if the phase two of the project is finalized, then when we move to phase three, we'll have again to sit back, as Minister is saying, let's repackage and perhaps put the responsibility.
facilities where they are available. But we did reflect on that in the presentation in terms of unavailability of funds. I'm going to respond to a few questions, but I don't say broadly. As a strategy moving forward as a department, we needed to reflect that. It's not that we are presenting and we're taking into consideration the fact that there are no funds. There are indeed no funds. There are several financial challenges that we are facing as a department. There is a directive that was issued by our former Minister of Water and Sanitation to Rainwater, and there is indeed also a tripartite contract signed between the Department of Rainwater and CETA. That can also be arranged on Wednesday as part of the document that will be submitted to the portfolio committee. The other questions I'm going to ask my colleagues to assist in this one more time. Okay.
Second issue. The costing for the 4 billion budget was done by BOMSA, the implementing agent, and that will be made available in the package that has to come through on Wednesday. Over and above what the acting DG has highlighted, on slide 20, we can spell out that the project is not funded in the 1819 DPT. And as such, we have not tried by no means to withhold any information as far as this project is concerned.
This project is not funded in the coming financial year.
Yes, I guess. It is not funded, and when the CFO presented the values in terms of the amounts owed to the implementing agent, she was using those as indicated in the presentation that had itself. So we have tried to be as transparent as possible. For us to have changed the approach in recruitment, it was us trying to bring on board some of the provinces because we were experiencing these challenges in terms of uptake. Hence, we find that in fact, most of the municipalities have taken up the water agents. There is a pack of challenges that goes with the municipalities. So we are going to engage them, but those challenges range from issues around being able to transport the learners in some of their vehicles because vehicles can take limited numbers. As learners, they are not qualified. They need mentors to guide them. So in terms of the program itself, they go through their theory, and then they do practicals. The workplace education that takes place is under the guidance of qualified other artisans who have to guide them and teach them as to how they have to do their work. They do not get their certificate or qualification before they could complete that workplace training. It is part and parcel of the prerequisite. In cases where we have reported learners that have completed or obtained red seals, it's learners that we had inherited from some other projects whereby they could not complete. A typical example, there was a project that was run by DPW, and we did inherit quite a lot of those learners in the Mpumalanga area as part and parcel of the War on Exclusion, so that there is that sense of continuity and partnership as government. Several departments have been approached. It's a pity that it's only now that we have an opportunity to present the warnings, because we have been called several times and we never got the time to present. Several departments have been engaged to be partners in this particular project. We have some of our learners that are working with the Department of correctional services. We have engaged the Department of Public Works, who were promising, as they have a lot of state-owned buildings that need attention, and based on the fact of the variety of artisan disciplines that we're offering, and they could be able to gain on that. We were also liaising with the Department of Energy, because they have an initiative in terms of other projects that they are doing also, assembling solar panels, and that they could use some of the learners who have done electrification and instrumentation. Moving to phase three, we had already looked at the numbers as well and said that based on the numbers, we have a very high number of water agents. It would therefore benefit this project if, when we do embark on phase three time permitting, we will focus purely on plumbing, welding, and fitting and tenants. Because these other disciplines, you find that they already have a large number of artisans that are out there, and they are literally begging to get their placement. I would like to leave the rest of the questions to the team.
Thank you. I think the issue of Amangwani, we will follow up because, as you have many municipalities are having more and less. I'll make a simple example. Tshwane, as a municipality, they have four links program. And in last year, there was a documentary about how it's not working and so forth. And naturally, because I'm the program manager in the blue city of this, you just do it to your screen, only to find that when you look at facts, that it was funded not by EWS, but we make sure that we check the status, accreditation status of the Mangwani and follow up on the Mpumalanga problem. Because anything that is trade related is in our space. So it's our responsibility also as a quality assurer to make sure that we follow up in terms of that. And then, how long does it take to train? I think my preamble indicated that we are exposing learners to three different interventions. One is short course or short courses on water demand and conservation. And also, we expose them to a learnership, which takes a minimum of 12 months. But most importantly, we are also infusing the entrepreneurial component, which is new venture creation, so that we don't just train people who will seek employment, but we also train people who can also do cooperatives in their various villages, cooperatives in their various municipalities to start up, because villages are there, but that is the combination. And then for artisans, it takes up to 3 years. It's not regulated by us, it's regulated by a body called the QCC, which is quality assuring the trade. We are just applying to it and we are just monitoring on behalf of QCTO. However, wherein you find that there are, we call them learners, who already have requisite skills or who have already theoretical knowledge, they can be what we call recognition of prior learning, wherein they get subjected to various assessments. Then they get prepared to write a trade test, at which, after that preparation, it takes about 6 months. Then they can write the actual trade test for that particular occupation. I'm marking this that it takes up to, for those learners who do not have either theoretical background and the practical background. And then, the NQF further, because you are dealing with trade here, you can't talk NQF, because there's transition in terms of trade. But for skills programs, I mean, the new venture creation is at NQF level 3 and NQF level 4, obviously depending on the qualification that for the learners that we recruited. You can't expose them to a particular higher level when they don't have recruited skills. So we've we've done it in such a way that we pre-assess to say, okay, this one will do level 2, this one will do level 3, and so forth. And then the learnership is at entry level 3 and level 4 also. Now, in the question of monitoring tool, one, at the micro level, we've got a protocol agreement, which articulates responsibilities of each and every implementing agent. In that protocol agreement, we are expected to deliver in a certain way in particular areas and so forth. Now, for us, that is a monitoring tool itself. Because what we did, when we contracted service providers, we borrowed, for instance, from the protocol agreement to say, look, you will get this particular deliverables on the basis that we get funding from DWS. But that does not exonerate us that we have extending legal agreement with those service providers. And there's also tranches whereby there's milestones. You indicate, for instance, for any activity, what are the milestones involved? First, you have to subject people to pre-assessment. Secondly, you have to make sure that they complete an apprenticeship contract. Three, there has to be medical examinations and so forth and so forth. Then there's actual registration with QCTO. Then in that there's facilitation, in that there's a theoretical or institutional level, and then there's 24 months of a practical level. So you put those milestones to say, you don't just pay without milestones not being achieved. But again, now, at a learner level, we have attended registers, for instance, wherein we expect learners to attend certain classes, because the stipend that sometimes they complain about is because it's a deterrent for those who don't attend. If you don't attend, how do we give you the stipend? Because now it's going to mean that people will stay at home and then we'll pay for them. So it's a deterrent also to say that if you don't attend theoretical component and practical component, you're not going to get the stipend. So sometimes learners can be malicious and try to raise issues but not get into the grasp of why we are not paying them the stipend. Because these things, when you articulate a qualification, there's what we call rational hours, whereby they expected so many hours to be in class, so many hours to be at workplaces. For workplaces, we control it via logbooks, where in the mentors in workplaces are ensuring that these people are exposed to the nitty-gritty as determined by the curriculum of the qualification. What I'm highlighting these things because there's no way that a learner can have a qualification not adhering to standards. You go to Devon, the learners are exposed to the same standards. That is what we are doing as a quality assurance. I take note of the inputs from honorable members, particularly around COPTA, and then I'm sure my colleague from Grantwater will elaborate more in terms of that. And then there was a question around the legal recourse. Yes, we've got the legal recourse. I'm sitting already with legal letters, whereby the board has given us a directive that now we must go flat out for the department. We've been writing letters since August last year. And up until today, we've not received payment. And you go with the same story to the board meeting, because you are subjected to the same oversight as an organization. And maybe just to also indicate that CETAs are nobody's company. CETAs are owned by government. We report to the Department of Higher Education and Training. There's 21 sector education training authorities. It's just that we are demarcated according to sector. We so find ourselves in the energy and water sector. Everything that governs the Department of DWS governs EWC. Same standards, preferential procurement, all the policies and procedures that cover the department and also cover the the issue of why we are not employees. Yes, again, I'm going to interject here because that's not our mandate. Our mandate is to create and develop skills for the sector. Remember, CITAS are stakeholder-driven organizations. That's why if you look at our board composition, the Department of Water and Sanitation has got a seat in our board. Groundwater has got a seat in our board. ESCOM has got a seat in our board. Department of Energy has got a seat. So everything that gets approved where we account and report is upon those members who sit in the board also to report back to their constituencies, like the members are doing. But our mandate ends in the training component. Nonetheless, we do what we call learner tracker and tracing. That means we've not subjected this program into that particular research exercise. We wait until we finish. Then as I finish, then we subject impact study to try to understand if we create impact with the funding. And I can tell you that that is some of the activities that are supposed to come post this particular program. And then I think what the minister indicated around water leakages, particularly in your rural or township areas. We have a software that we unfortunately are waiting for payment that will work like a WhatsApp. Wherein, if you detect a leakage, you will be sending a number. You will be sending a message to a particular number that will locate one of our learners because we have all learner details and information. So that service will work only when we have resources for that. It's tried and tested and so forth, so that also we don't just focus on the training component, but we also assist the departmental mandate of ensuring that leakages are responded to and most importantly, timeously. I think the DG has indicated the data agreement is there. Something that I missed when I did our presentation, for two financial years, the one is because of the nature and the amount of money that are involved, we subjected this process to a GSA for two financial years. And it came out clean, one from the process, two also from the actual training itself. And maybe what we need to do, because last year when this issue started to come up, on the 18th of October, I invited the EWC CITA board to convene where we got the site. They chose that site where we subjected them to the two-day visit so that they can understand what is happening and so forth. And then we've done the same. I know that today and tomorrow, AGSA for audit, the May audit of 2017-2018, they are going to conduct those set visits. And we're more than happy to get impromptu visits. But members should also appreciate that you may find that learners are not in class, but learners are a practical component when they are conducting practical training. So we don't want to be seen. Sometimes it's better that you know that now that learners have moved from Kirtiband, where are they placed for practical training? So that you don't get to Kirtiband, then you don't find learners then. So it will help for planning purposes so that you can also give out information and so forth. I think that my sermon is the health and the medical
record. So it's very straight to the point. No.
Okay.
No preamble, no introduction.
Okay. Fortunately, mine is very basic. The one question was on the oversight. And just to say that we have, for every region, we have regional coordinators. and they do consultations and troubleshooting on the ground. We've also got a logbook system, and we've got monthly reporting from our regional coordinators. In terms of whether we have a legal contract, yes, we have an actual contract, which is this tripartite agreement that we're talking about. And then in terms of the audit, whether or not this project has been, wasn't stated directly, but I think it was alluding to that, I would like to, just like the EWC, to state that the war leaks as a project in Randwater was also audited by the AG as part of the Randwater's external audit. And the AG had actually commended internally Randwater for the project management protocol and reportables on the war leaks project. So it has been subjected to an external audit. Thanks.
That helps. Members, we all what we are hearing that the department is involved in a process that is reconfiguring the program. Whether this is on top to training involving higher education, or it is going to talk about internships, having to talk to energy department, or whether it's going to talk to COCTA and human settlement from COCTA point of view, as to having to integrate, as this is, has to do more with the infrastructure in the municipal areas, or whether it has to do with the human settlement insofar as the maintenance is concerned. Now, these are the nitty-gritties involved in that entire reconfiguration process. Obviously, the service, or rather the implementing agents here, they are hard-pressed with payment issues. That one is very clear. And clearly, on the other hand, from your implementing agent's point of view, you're equally hard-pressed just to understanding anything about your future and issues of certainty. Are you here or there? Planning naturally is going to affect you. And obviously expectations from a point of view of income come to play. So those are the issues for your implementing agents, if you like. From a policy point of view, I cannot understand. Maybe it has to do with this whole reconfiguration point of view. I'm still battling in my own mind as to why do you not include this program in your ACP stroke budget. I'm betting on that one. Perhaps we might just clarify on that one specifically. If I'm not mistaken, members, that's how I look at it. Maybe on that one specifically.
Thank you, Chair, once more. Chairperson, you are spot on again. In the, you correct to say we're reconfiguring. We show you saw it, saying this thing. I was checking with the DM, she was. It was a given that the responsibility to oversee, and then assisted by me, the process of reconfiguring, including this program. Because we we have to make sure that water that is already under control. Second, the reuse of the water. That is part of the water system. That water that is reusable has got to be again, it's going to be prepared for that reuse. And you can only do that if you've got your food soldiers. But the question, the point then is, where do you locate them? That the Minister Chetty wants is itching to talk to this, because you're actually talking to a passionate. She says, she has been placed in charge of the program. and she was busy in the engaging municipalities exactly for the reasons that you say. But I think I don't want to speak on their behalf because she wanted to speak herself for that matter. Because you actually hit the nail on the head yourself. Chair, if you wanted to speak on that, I'm ready to give it about 3 minutes of my comments.
It is 5 minutes now.
Just to understand two issues, Chair. Undilaga started the program in the middle of it, and he did call us. Going to said we were never called by the committee to come and present. But you did call us, and no one came for us. How are we going to run this program? Because it is not in the EPP. I remember you saying so many a times. So we were called, and then in the meeting again, you asked the facilitator of the program. Then I said, no, I'm ready to work with the municipalities. But I know that the minister, there was some kind of misunderstanding on my side, because he said, no, this is going to be Rainwater. Then again, I engaged Rainwater. I'm surprised that Rainwater is not, ready, that I was ready. Met on them when they were here. I said this program is supposed to be mine, so I don't want anything that will go wrong. So how are we going to go and to the mayors and talk to them about this? It's only in the field to check when the mayors and other areas were involved. But I was against the agent. Maybe the landlord will think now that I was against the aspect presence. I was saying people that are in the rural areas, we just wait up to act like this. If we work directly with mayor, it will assist us so that when they complete the course, they will be given again back to their constituencies and what they say. But that is going to be rectified, Jeff, because instead they came back to me to say, this is what we're trying to do, and phase two, it was done like that. They are working with the mayors now and municipalities. But the other thing that I would like to raise, Chair, is I hear that the now it's in the APP. Because yesterday, it was highlighted in the select committee. How are we going to do this without money? Then the CFO said in the select committee, no, this in the APP. So the third phase, Chair, you arrive by saying there is no money to do the thing, the best thing. And it's a pity that the WIP is not here. When WIP was saying it's embarrassing, it is embarrassing because this is a presidential project. We were given mandate by the president. And also the current president, in his State of the Nation, spoke about this war on this. And then I don't know how, Chair, we're going to make sure that the test things, how we're going to do it, I don't know. And the other issue that he raised, that the money was taken from TCTA, and I think she was saying the money was taken from TWE, not TCTA, so the WIP was making a mistake. And then it is true that this ministerial directive are collapsing. Because these entities now, their names are traded because they are doing a good job. They've done everything. The money is not given. And listen to them, they say they have audited the statement. So it means they're good. The reason why we're taking this to Inchatuzi with all the work that they've done, I don't know. So I should know the Deputy Minister the reason why this was taken to Inchatuzi. But I want to say in this meeting that I don't know why we're taking this program to Inchatuzi. So it's up to the Minister now and you, Chair, to face this project, to have it. I don't know how they're going to face it, but the current President spoke about it in his State of the Nation that we must finish. And I want to go back to Sona, because he is repeatedly talking about war on the president, Mr. Ramaphosa. I think that's all.
Maybe just one question, which still lingers on my mind. Is the program having a budget or not in the 2018-2019? It does not have.
No, it does not.
Does the program have a, is it on the APT? Any of that, does it have any of performance plan that part of that? And also, does it have a budget? Simple, straightforward.
Thanks, Chair. It's in the APT, but it does not have a budget. Hence the suggestion that we need to approach COCTA. And
the Department of Higher Education training for budget to finish phase 2. And then to support us to get
additional funding.
Understand that there is no budget. Why is the budget?
I would like to be given a chance to deal with the matter of budget because I came in at a very bad time. Probably the budgeting is almost complete, but I think we will be able to request cabinet president to reconsider whatever is already done. There was also the thing that we are reconsidering. It would have impact on the budget. So my yesterday I was talking to the president of the budget and saying we wanted to finish the topic about what we wanted to do, which is what's exchanged right now. It must impact on the budget, whatever the budget looks like now. And I've based all of what I've done, the reconfiguration at the moment on the interactions that you are doing yourselves, particularly as this committee, as well as yesterday in our interaction with what was the one municipality now. It's critical to a municipality so that we have a municipality that will good cost, that we have a common understanding of what resources and services. I really would request you that you give me the opportunity to
thank you, Chairperson. I'm tempted to make some comments on what has been presented to the committee. Firstly, Chairperson, having listened to what EW has just said, to say the training of this members is only 3 months, actually, this course should be taken 3 years, if I have correctly. I'm now just thinking, the further goes on to say, these stipends are just meant to attract the trainees. If they don't attend, they don't get those stipends. So obviously, it's a matter of saying, come for this agreement, which is practically including the theory, but at the end of the day, it does not really assist the department. My take, Chairperson, on this one would be, the department should have had long future plans to deal with the issue of leakages, because I can just imagine a 3 months the trainee coming back to assist in whatever challenge the municipality is facing. Here you think of the blockages on the sewage systems, the water that flows from the sewage systems into our streams, our rivers. part of the challenge. Now, if one thinks like that, the department should be, I was just thinking, if I may say this through the chairperson to the minister, remembering how he ran the first department, the first leading, rural development, where the department had a target of, say, inviting students on certain faculties, funded or given bursaries to study. When they finish their studies, then they come back to the department, work for certain periods, then thereafter they could go out. Just think of these 3-month trainees to form cooperatives. How do they, what do they do with the legal that they're exposed to? So the biggest challenge, Chairperson, I'm seeing here is a long plan for the department to face the challenge of what can it. I've thought of another instance, Chairperson, that you know, South Africa is regarded as one of the first countries it states at this point. South Africa actually is one of the best countries. Can be compared to the first world countries actually, if I may call it. But if you look, we are now just only focusing on the elites that are on our naked eyes. Those which are visibly seen by us all. What about the elites on the pipes and around? Where we should actually be maybe think of getting those well-trained engineers to come with equipment to detect the leaks that are right at our, which actually exposes the wastage of water in our department. So this, that's what Chairperson came to my mind when I was listening to the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You know, from all the presentations, you can see that when the president has spoken, we don't sit down where the department and plan, so that we can execute what the president has said. That is why we end up with these problems. Both the department, most especially the department. So maybe I will suggest, I think the minister said in the chapter, the reconfiguration that we have made. Because now we are planning on something that has already been, is already there, that is running. And sometimes today we are bound to make some changes which might be a mistake, but we have to do this. I think it's not going well. Hence, you know, at the presidential level, you just speak and expect things to happen in Brazil, but we were food soldiers. And those food soldiers, we could call soldiers, they are not lost. They cannot, they could trample, they cannot tremble on the ground. Now we have got entities that are unable to pay the service providers there. Now they are trembling on the same solar statement by the president that within 30 days people must be paid. And the same entities that have been entrusted by the department with the work can't pay because they are owed 500 million. I don't know whether is there any way where we can meet them halfway this week so that they can start paying the. I know you say you don't have money, but yesterday we've been speaking about double payments. We've been speaking about double payments of other, our entities. It's a problem, it's a challenge. I don't know whether that might be possible. I know where the minister has just said, hey, let's give him time to talk about the budget. I don't think that might be a problem, Chairperson. The time might be given. But we also need some time frame so that we can check whether these people do not find themselves in the limbo, the problems that they find themselves. EW Sita.
You also, you indicate you trained in the first phase 10,000. You know, my problem is mathematics. When you speak with numbers, I am getting it. But when I see there, I don't know whether it's me. I found 6,000. I just calculated quickly. You see, you say you had an input of 2,000 and something, something. Then there are 1,000 and 1,800. When you calculate, you know, the numbers do not challenge what you are saying. Even though, even then, when you make about this issue of water skills program in conservation, artisan, that we've spoken about, not all these people end up being trained. You end up having the numbers that are, yes, that did not match, that did not get in. When you calculate all these numbers, you find a total of 724 in phase one. That did not go through the course and finish. Where did this one go? Where did this one go? And it's not really needed, but when we give you money, when the department gives you money, you just use the money anyhow. It doesn't work like that. Money must be followed. And imagine it must be value for money. When there are, because each and every student here or learner is allocated funds. If there are 724, where does that money go? Because you can't just say 10,000 learners have been trained. No, no. You said there's a throughput, there's an output. That's what you're telling us. Then when you combine it, you find that there are learners that did not go through. Where does it go? Even when we report, that's how we report even to when we were debating in the other. That's the new report debate, sometimes. What debate in the clinic or whatever. What debate? This is the number of pupils that have been come in. This is the number of people that have gone out. This is one that has dropped out. You understand how we use it? We cannot just when we go and debate our debaters, because these people are listening to us. And they will come back to us and say, what is it that we are saying up here? Because this is not their real number. So you must tell us what is the real year, so that we actually do what is right for us. So the numbers here, you must check them. I think that they are, to me, they don't tell you. Thank you very much.
We are almost getting to the conclusion of our meeting. It's now 5:01, according to my watch. I'm calling. I'm just the
talk. Give us a chance. Asa juga memperbaik. Gibuya lah kata pemalas nukus tak hati sebab. Inom buso lah tu buat kalau kalau lembinista. Kau aku lantai satu lain mian lembinista. Bawa usah satu ya. Jadi lembinista nawe kerja umat. Si lelakasan oversight. Masfika laphayana sathola ukuthi kunenge efloka ephumalana ihambe iziyongena kuleni asibizwa ngo-TFI. And imali laphayana zaphuma lezi amazosebenza. Sesiyakuyathola. Saphinda sathola ukuthi futhi khona nemiphakathi laphayana, khona igama lelokishi lakhona. Umama okhala ngokuthi phakathi endlini yakhe. Kudlula indle sebayebika lendalo endlelini abantu balapha baphila indlela endlini baphila sala lasigula umbuzo wami ukuthi kambi la bantu babakhona okulamba ngabe bakhoneka nje jasi ukuthi kuxoxo ngabo yini abasiza ngayo thina njengobasilanga andiyamuzwa nomhlonishwa wami uthi la bantu ababaqeqeshayo ababaqeqeshayo mhlawumbe ukuthi enza ekugcineni baqashwa bangayenza ama-cooperative. Yebo, ngiyakuhle nalokho, kodwa ekugcineni funakanazi akubantu ukuthi ekugcineni bagcina sebebuya sebezohlasela khona lento ezizingqalanzimba zomphakathi sebezobulala zona ngoba nayo lo msebenzi abamtholi kalula. Okunye-ke engikuthanda ukuthi lana anjalo ukuthi sihambisane kahle. Yabona kono kathi Jozine akube kumnandi ngiyakuthanda
We have a problem. Something there are people who are supposed to use this thing for 1 o'clock. We have that immediate challenge. So if you can try and round up.
Okay, yeah. If you want to let them down, we want to man come and now say not to us. We are pissing them for we in there. And who could see so? And the minister and someone was to what man, who was man. So I'm getting that idea who has that room, the rich minister and give the report, the guy is in zero. You are carrying an avant, no one carrying those children to come under the patrol is about the resources. No man is still an avant, I beg for the better season and mutual team. Tina Vandersen party. And the Sisaponomans, which is a better and a better the man is in the hand over. Your foundation. A man who took 2 months, the Apuma, the Paladin Zidu, for the Ekunen, as well as we said it, about Master Lekupe, Nakatel of Kulubi Pio. Full and individual with a practical, the age of the Muslims that we do, we
are home. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. I'll be short, Chair. Just one, I think Mr. Chauke alluded to that, made some really valuable inputs. My question would be, is there a project plan for the implementation of the war on refugees? Because it will speak to the issues of the recruitment, because I read it was written to the premiers, you don't know what would be the role of the premiers in terms of the recruitment process. And the skewed recruitment is what the majority from Gauteng province is there. What are the criteria that the majority of students are from Gauteng and you see other provinces around 5 or so? And then the war on detentions, is the department not in an unfunded mandate in terms of, it is not their mandate in terms of water articulation where it's supposed to be right? And maybe culture, for instance. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thanks for that. I think some of the issues are perhaps actually been attended to, especially the latter part of some of the points you were raising in the issue, but incumbent upon the department respond on those maybe in less than a minute. Maybe it's a part of the way forward. We will have summarized this whole process by way of saying it is indeed work in progress, number one. Work in progress within the context of a reconfiguration of the program itself. Taking care of some of the issues you are raising. So that's what we are listening to the department. Maybe it's not sneaked out at the time. The major important area obviously remains to be a concern for the implementing agents. When are you getting paid? The service providers are taking to court. They are demanding all sorts of... But equally important is the retention of your trainees. I can't imagine a situation where you train somebody through taxpayers, within no time, somebody private snatches that person out. I cannot comprehend that one. Maybe it could be some of those things that are supposed to be brought forward. Maybe other issues that could be of importance raised by some of the members here. Not only is this infrastructure having such challenges needed to be fixed, hence the program. But equally important is your underground piping that we do not see. But also, whether the non-revenue water resulting out of theft of water is to be quantified, it is something that is very important. And lastly, the water that is being made use of by the user, but not accounted for. What I'm referring to here is a case in point at Rhodes University that we were talking about, spoken about, where in that big institution itself, they have only three pumps, meters, that's what I'm referring to. They would have 3 meters, to a point where they are even able to say as part of their courtesy to the municipality of Magana, ah, yes, 8 million rand, we can use it whichever we like, as if it's a real courtesy. They are unappealed. They have 3 meters. How many such institutions do we have in the country? Or such organizations? Huge organizations. But being built far less than expected. Whether we are able to do any such quantifications of those losses that call them loss of water, on non-revenue water, because that water is made use of but not accounted for. So in my view, that those should be some of the issues that you might wish to look into and understand it, so that the brief here is very specific. It talks about leakages in municipalities that talk to 37, but that's what the Water Research Commission did do as part of its research in 2012. But whether we want to also, this is, I guess, the issue that we might also wish to raise to the department, that there are these other areas that we are not talking about. And for those that are abusing our water resource, it is business as usual. Now, given the challenge that we have of time, we seem to be saying to ourselves, I hope and trust that we speak on behalf of all the members here, that we are dealing here with a case that talks to work in progress, the configuration, and all of these other issues mentioned. The concerns raised by the implementing agent are very loud and clear. The department has responded to those quite urgently in light of what the president has said. 30 days, the service providers have to be paid. As to how you and where you take your money from, CFO, if you've not, because what the president says, it's law. It has to be implemented. There's no discussion. The only discussion has to do only with how you implement that. But unfortunately, that mandate is very specific. It says within a period of 30 days.
Yes.
We have heard the CFO has agreed, so I expect any payment to be. Meeting is adjourned, and thanks for the attention. I wish you all the best during Easter. And also for us who are going on recess, take a break whilst you are working.